From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember the poor. Why does God allow so many of His children to be poor? He could make them all rich if He pleased. He could lay bags of gold at their doors. He could send them a large annual income, or He could scatter round their houses abundance of provisions, as once He made the quails lie in heaps round the camp of Israel and rained bread out of heaven to feed them. There is no necessity that they should be poor, except that He sees it to be best. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are His. He could supply them. He could make the richest, the greatest, and the mightiest bring all their power and riches to the feet of His children, for the hearts of all men are in His control. But He does not choose to do so. He allows them to suffer want. He allows them to pine in penury and obscurity. Why is this? There are many reasons. One is to give us, who are favored with enough, an opportunity of showing our love to Jesus. We show our love to Christ when we sing of Him and when we pray to Him. But if there were no sons of need in the world, we should lose the sweet privilege of evidencing our love by ministering in almsgiving to His poorer brethren. He has ordained that thus we should prove that our love stands not in word only, but in deed and in truth. If we truly love Christ, we shall care for those who are loved by Him. Those who are dear to Him will be dear to us. Let us then look upon it not as a duty, but as a privilege to relieve the poor of the Lord's flock, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Surely this assurance is sweet enough, and this motive strong enough, to lead us to help others with a willing hand and a loving heart, recollecting that all we do for His people is graciously accepted by Christ as done to Himself.
How I praise Thee, precious Savior, Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Emptied that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thy hand, with no power but graciously with each command.
Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues to deal with Romans chapter 8, he is bringing a message called Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated. The text is verses 5 and 6, in which the Apostle Paul draws the distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns explained that this is not a reference to the difference between carnal Christians and spiritually healthy believers. Rather, it is the distinction between those who are lost and those who are truly saved. In the first part of the message, Dr. Cairns defines Paul's terms. After the flesh is a reference to the natural, unregenerate man whose mindset is controlled by the fallen nature he inherited from Adam. Now to continue this message, Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated, here is Dr. Cairns.
Understand what the Bible here means by the word flesh. It is the unregenerate human nature as it came from Adam, polluted and corrupted by sin. To be after the flesh, to be according to the flesh, is to be controlled and governed and determined by that unregenerate, corrupt and depraved human nature. It is to have not the Spirit of Christ and to be therefore none of His. It is to be, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, without God and without Christ. Now I said that these people who are after the flesh are the same people as walk after the flesh. But that doesn't mean to say those two expressions are the same thing. They're not. One is much deeper than the other. You see, they walk after the flesh. That's what sinners do. That's behavior. But now Paul goes further and he says they are after the flesh. That's their being. That goes a lot deeper than behavior. You see, what is wrong with sinners is not just their behavior. What is wrong with men outside of Jesus Christ is not just what they're doing or what they're doing. And that's what so often we pay attention to. What they're doing is obviously wrong. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin, the Scripture says. But there's something deeper than the doing. It's what they are. You see, behavior may be corrected. Behavior may be modified. But there can be no real change in the inmost depths of the person by any mere human activity. The real trouble lies with what men are. They are after the flesh. Now, we're told that they mind the things of the flesh. The word mind makes you automatically think of their thought processes, their mind, their thinking. But this is a word that means a whole lot more than just to think. I'm sure you've heard at times of some front man, say a political stooge, you know, somebody who has a plastic smile, has a well-groomed appearance, but to quote a famous friend of mine in Northern Ireland about a politician there, if his brains were dynamite, he wouldn't have enough to blow his nose. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So when you have these front men, or it used to be said about athletes, especially for some reason or other, boxers, they must have thought they had whatever brains they had knocked out of them. And they would have minders. You heard of that? They would have minders. Now the minders, now that word didn't mean they were thinking about them all the time, just actually they were thinking about them all the time. But it meant that they were controlling them. They are the real controllers. They're minders. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. This is a word that's variously translated. The Lord Jesus said to Peter when he was seeking to keep him back from the cross, "Thou savorest not." The same word. "Thou savorest not the things that be of God." And Paul told the Christians in Rome to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. This is the word that he used. Chapter 14 of Romans, he's talking about regarding a certain day, keeping it in a special way as a holy day. It's the same word, regarding it. When he told the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," this is the word that he used. When he commanded the Colossians, "Set your affections on things above," this is the word that he used. So the mind of the flesh, this minding the things of the flesh, speaks of an entire disposition. It speaks of the affections of the heart. It speaks of the purpose of the will, along with the thoughts of the mind. So those who mind the flesh and the things of the flesh have their whole being fixed on what belongs to the unregenerate nature. What occupies them, what concerns them, is what belongs to the unregenerate nature. Now, those things of the flesh may be gross sins. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19 and following, and he said, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." If my memory's right, he gives a list of 19 things. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings, and such like. And he adds, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." By the way, by that standard, half the pulpits in America would be vacant today. By that standard, half your deacon boards and elder boards would be wiped out of existence. By that standard, half the churches would be empty. Not talking about people who fall into sin, repent, and get right. I'm talking about people who can twist the scriptures to rationalize a lifestyle of open, flagrant ungodliness, pass it off as some sort of modern, permissive Christianity, when Paul says, "They shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, those are open, gross sins. But the things of the flesh run much deeper than that. Did you ever think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 10 and verse 4 about the wicked? "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Now we're getting to the real heart of the mind of the flesh. It is a life that's ruled by self without God. And you know, that may just come under the guise of high culture. I know that this may not be what you want to hear. But really, and I'm not by any means equating the product, but at the end of the day, when the Beatles were stoned on drugs and turning out their rock garbage, was it any more the mind of the flesh than when Mozart was caught in filth and perversion and adultery turning out his music? Not equating the product, but I am saying that the mind of the flesh can come in the guise of high culture. I would say indeed, you look at the poor drunken sot, the poor drug addict, that's walking broken around the streets of our cities today. Sure, that's the mind of the flesh in operation. But is there as much perversion there even as when you take a man gifted with great intellect, great artistic ability, great writing ability, great powers to do something that, if consecrated to God, would be of use in the world, and they're totally given to the corruption of mankind, and to the blasphemy of God? Stop and think. How many of the world's great writers today are writing for anybody but the devil? You tell me. How many of the world's great artists today are producing anything but for the devil? Taking the gifts of God, perverting them. Remember the illustration I've given from the book of Leviticus? Various times, God gives you a list of the unclean. The mouse and the mole and the rat and the spider, these things that are on the ground, my, they are unclean. But just as unclean as the eagle that soars in the sky. Point I'm making is this. Don't kid yourself that because you're not a drunken sot and because you're not living in open immorality and you're not a thief and you're not a murderer and you're not this and you're not that, that somehow you're not guilty of living after the flesh. God is not in all his thoughts. The life of self without God. And thus, Paul says, to be carnally minded is death. There's no is in the original. The idea is to be carnally minded, death. Two things go together. Carnally minded is actually just the mind of the flesh. The Authorized Version translators have been criticized. I've read people who ought to know better saying this is an abominable translation. Not so abominable after all. It just shows the old Authorized Version translators knew a whole lot more than their critics. The word here is not the Greek word for mind, the usual word speaking of the faculty of thought. There's a related word that speaks of the action of thought, the activity of thought. It's not that word either. It is rather a word that carries in a passive sense that it is what is thought, it is the product. In other words, he's talking about the mindset. To be minded, to have a mindset. And he says the mindset of the flesh is death. It's in a state of death, spiritually dead toward God, alienated from God by wicked works. And it is under the doom and the sentence of eternal death. Well, this isn't a carnal Christian we're talking about. This is a sinner. Man who is after flesh. Now, by contrast, he speaks of the saints, that they are after the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Ghost, who has regenerated them and united them to Christ. I like to think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is the minder of Christians. That's the message here. That's how the Spirit is putting it. We are after the Spirit. Now notice this. They are after the Spirit. And that's why they walk after the Spirit. Again, being a Christian is so much more than just behaving in a certain way. Unfortunately, that's what being a Christian has been reduced to in so many of our churches. If you just tick the right boxes and you know how to respond in the right way. That's not what makes a Christian. There's something deeper. And here's the definitive mark of a true Christian. He's regenerated by the Spirit. He has the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ dwells in him. And it is the indwelling Holy Spirit who is the governing, controlling power in his life. And therefore, he minds the things of the Spirit. And this is one of the great and easy to be identified marks of a Christian. There was a time when the things of the Spirit were foolishness to him. Why? Because they were spiritually discerned. But now the things that were foolishness to him, they are the very delight of his heart. They're the core of his being. They fill his affections. They fill his thoughts. And he judges everything else in the light of the things of the Spirit. This is what Paul is talking about. But what are these things of the Spirit? What are they? Well, obviously, they're spiritual things. They're the things of God. They're the things that deepen spiritual life. A Christian who is after the Spirit minds, gives his attention to, is taken up with, preoccupied with, controlled by the things of the Spirit. Things that will make for spiritual life and deepen spiritual experience. So the things of the Spirit will include such things as prayer, because the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of grace and intercession. It is the Holy Spirit who from within us prays with groanings that cannot be uttered. He is the spirit of prayer. So if you're going to mind the things of the Spirit, if that's the mark of a Christian, let me tell you, the very first thing about a Christian is he prays. It's impossible to have a non-praying Christian. You may as well talk about a non-breathing, living person. Doesn't happen. When Saul of Tarsus was converted on the Damascus Road, God appeared to Ananias to tell him to go to Saul of Tarsus. Ananias, even though he was talking to the Lord, was more than a little bit afraid. Lord, you sure you know? Doesn't this show you how crazy we can be? Ananias talking to the Lord, are you really sure, Lord, you know what you're talking about here? Have you not heard about this man? Lord, I have heard by many. There's one of the troubles of the Christian life. God's people tune to the many when they ought to be tuned to the voice of the Lord. I've heard by many of this man. The Lord said, you go. What was the proof that he was really converted? Behold, he prayeth.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.